Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 26 April 2026, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Paul starts out, I am communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. That is so powerful, because what he wants to communicate is the absolute truth of the grace gospel to the Jewish brethren. He would love to see them place their faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and receive the gift of eternal life. And that's why he starts out here so powerfully. I am communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. And then he says, I am not lying. And this is the verb pseudomai. Looks like that in the Greek, that's P-S-E-U-D-O-M-A-I, pseudomai. All right. First of all, pseudomai means to lie, to tell a falsehood. But point two, Paul puts in the objective negative ooh. I absolutely am not lying. Present tense is a progressive present. I keep on. Absolutely, I am not lying. Middle voice, deponent. Middle in form, active in meaning. Indicative mood, declarative. This is absolute fact. This is reality. This is certainty. Point three. As a spiritually mature believer, the Apostle Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has great personal love for God the Father. He has great impersonal love for all. All these Jewish unbelievers, all these Judaizers who follow him all over the Roman Empire and attack him and try to destroy him and his ministry. He loves them with virtue love, impersonal love for all of them. He would love to see them place their faith in Jesus Christ and have eternal salvation. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. So as a spiritually mature believer, the Apostle Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Four, therefore, Paul is a man of great virtue, great honesty, great integrity. Paul is a man of great virtue, great honesty, great integrity. Five, Paul has genuine humility. And Paul is totally free from arrogance. Totally free from arrogance. So corrected translation, I am communicating aletheia. I'm communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. And I absolutely am not lying. And then he adds to that, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. This is the genitive singular of synodasis with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active participle of sum martureo, plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego, repeated, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of pneuma with the dative singular of hagias. All right, we have our friend synodasis. Looks like that in the Greek, that's S-U-N-E-I-D. Long E, S-I-S, synodasis. All right, great word. Let's break this down a little bit. One, synodasis is a compound word made up of the preposition soon, that's there, and this is the verb oida. So we have a preposition soon, with, and oida, which means to know. So, to know with. Two, so literally, synodasis means to know with. To know with. Three, synodasis is the Greek word for your conscience. The Greek word for your conscience. Very important part of your soul, the heart, in the right lobe of your soul, very important part is your conscience. Four, it means to know with a norm or a standard. To know with a norm or a standard. Five, it means to have a norm and standard in your conscience. To have a norm and standard in your conscience and to be aware of that norm and standard. And to use that in your thinking, in your motivations, in your decision making, in your actions. It means to have norms and standards in your conscience and to be aware of those norms and standards in your thinking, in your motivations, in your decision making, in your actions. And then we have the genitive singular, the personal pronoun ego, that's my conscience, the Apostle Paul's conscience. He has divine norms and standards in his conscience. The absolute truth of the Word of God, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, maximum aletheia in his heart, providing maximum divine norms and standards in his conscience. And he says, my conscience, the Apostle Paul's conscience, my conscience acts as the subject of the verb, and the verb is sum martureo. Sum martureo. That's S-U-M-M-A-R-T-U-R-E, long O. Sum martureo. All right. A couple of things on this verb. Once again, point one, this is a compound verb made up of sum. Again, this is the preposition with, and the verb martureo. And the verb martureo means to testify, to bear witness, or to testify. To bear witness or to testify. Two, therefore, sum martureo literally means to testify with or to bear witness with. To testify with, to bear witness with. Three, sum martureo came to mean to confirm. To confirm, to testify in support of someone or something. So to confirm, to testify in support of someone or something. And three, to make a joint testimony. So sum martureo came to mean to confirm, to testify in support of someone or something, to make a joint testimony. Four, everything Paul is saying is compatible with his divine norms and standards in his conscience. Everything Paul is saying is compatible with the divine norms and standards in his conscience. Five, everything Paul is saying in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, in this great parenthesis, is compatible with the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Everything Paul is saying in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 is compatible with the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And that's in the prepositional phrase, en pneumati hagio. Here's the preposition en. This is the dative. Pneumati is the dative of pneuma, and it's not pneuma. That you'll say pneuma no matter what, none of you. No. No Greek, self-respecting Greek would ever say pneuma. Well, he gets slapped silly. It's pneuma. Pneuma. But that's a dative of pneuma. So I'll just put the, not in the dative, but pneuma, and that's the dative of hagios, and that's H-A-G-I-O-S, and pneuma hagios. And that is putting the spotlight on the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. You'll notice that there is no definite article. The absence of the definite article puts the spotlight on the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So Paul starts out very powerfully. I am communicating the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God. In Christ, I absolutely am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. All right. One, the Apostle Paul loved the Jewish people. Even though they're following him around, Judaizers following him around, trying to destroy his ministry, attacking him, the Apostle Paul loved the Jewish people. You see, the Apostle Paul is a Jew. Philippians 3, verse 5, Paul says, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. And then he goes on in verse 6, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. So, the Apostle Paul is, he loves the Jewish people because he is a Jew. Philippians 3, 5. 2. And Paul is greatly burdened for the Jewish people. Paul is greatly burdened for the Jewish people. Three, Paul has great sorrow that so many of his race, so many of the Jews, and so many of the nation of Israel will be excluded from salvation because they have rejected Christ as their Messiah and Savior. It just breaks his heart. Paul has great sorrow that so many of his race, so many of the Jews, so many of the nation of Israel will be excluded from eternal salvation because they have rejected Christ as the Messiah, as their only Savior. Four. So Romans chapter 9, verse 1 is especially necessary because what Paul has to say condemns the Jewish unbeliever. So Romans chapter 9, verse 1 is especially necessary because what Paul has to say condemns the Jewish unbeliever. And he knows the religious Jews. He knows that they know all about Moses. They know all about the Mosaic Law. And they think they are the great and they're going to be in heaven because of the work, keeping the works of the law. But they're not. Five. The fact that many Jews are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, the fact that many Jews are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because they have rejected Christ as their Savior, that does not void the unconditional promises made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Jeremiah. The fact that many Jews are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because they have rejected Christ as their Savior does not void the unconditional promises made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Jeremiah. 6. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants are unconditional covenants to true Jews. There are true Jews and there are racial Jews. True Jews, they have been born again, regeneration, because of faith in Jesus Christ. Racial Jews are racial Jews, but they have rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They have not placed their faith in Him for salvation. So the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants are unconditional covenants to true Jews, born-again Jews, through regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. 7, the only way to be included in these unconditional promises is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as your Savior. The only way to be included in these unconditional promises is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as your Savior. And Paul knows this is their only hope. And it breaks his heart. He knows this is their only hope. Well, verses 1 through 5 is very, very powerful. And you're going to see how much Paul loves the Jewish people, how much he would love to see them place their faith in Christ. So much so he even makes a statement, I would be willing to go to the lake of fire if it meant that they would believe in Christ as their Savior. Wow. How many of you would make that statement? Very powerful. Well, we'll pick it up here. These first five verses are amazing. We'll start here next Sunday. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.